SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Pharrell has taken over. Let's go. It's Pharrell.
Coast to coast.
Steaks, chicks, stacks. You and I are going to make a lot of money. It's Pharrell, coast to coast. It's Pharrell on the bench, coast to coast, in the biggest way possible. Hanging out, the bad, hate a broken, hate a bad apple with a bad attitude. We are live in New York City, the Big Apple. Ooh. People dressed in plastic bags, they're renting traffic, some kind of fashion shake it up should do be, along with the Tutty and Tater King himself, getting ready for the Cape Cod Irish Open. Carver High with us this afternoon, ladies. Also, Mafia running it with Luke Iamilhada. The rundown on a terrible towel Tuesday. A double shot with Morenci from Vancouver this very hour. Plus Mike DeCourcy of the Sporting News, Fox Sports, the Big Ten Network. And later, Bob Kessling, the legendary voice of the Tennessee Volunteers after their big win over Alabama in Knoxville this past Saturday. We'll talk to Bob in the 5 o'clock Eastern hour. Well, the Ravens beat the Bucks last night, and Lamar Jackson continues to show why he's the best in the business. 5 touchdown passes. He's now 23-1 against NFC teams. But it was not a wonderful evening for them all together as they lose Evans to the hammy and Godwin for the season as he fractures his ankle and will have surgery, a displaced ankle fracture. You got to be kidding me. And the Chargers lost to Arizona in the desert in Glendale, Mike. And it was good having both of those games on because there was only one hockey game. And basically the night sucked, except for Pharrell going 4-for-4 from the floor in his debut return to the Lifetime U-Hoops League in a 40-point win. An 8-4-2 stat line for Uncle Futrelli, getting involved in less than 10 minutes of action, pouring buckets in, including a tip-in. Oh, crawling the mountain over everyone to put one in. Woo!
Wow. I mean, look, 8 points in under 10 minutes of work. That's pretty good. I mean, you're on almost a point per minute pace if you were able to keep going. So that's a nice start to the season for you. I did see somewhere that your number was at 4.5. So you crushed the over with the points last night. So nice job by you there. Yes, 2 Monday night football games finish off week number 7. Ravens beat up on the Bucks. It actually wasn't really as close as the score indicates. The Bucks scored a bunch of garbage time touchdowns in the fourth quarter. But Lamar, once again, Scotty, on full display. This is, I think it was the 4th or 5th time he's thrown 5 touchdown passes in his career. Henry only had the one big run, and then he ended up keeping his touchdown streak alive late in the second half. He's now the favorite for the MVP, Lamar. They're 5-2, 0-2, 5 straight wins. Ravens are rolling now after a big win in Tampa last night.
Yeah, and hit the Ravens spread, laying 3.5.
And the
hit
over.
The Arizona spread, hit the Toronto Maple Leaf spread. So for all the morons out there that continue to write your nasty letters and all your other bullshack that I could give a rat's ass about, stick that up your arse and tell your mother I love her.
Good night all around. We had Evans' first touchdown in that game too. Andrews scored at plus 360. So
I'll break your nuts.
Pretty good night all around. At least for me it was, and I know for you as well. And that Cardinal win over the Chargers. We both had the Cardinals in that game, so that was a nice finish. Some controversial calls at the end of that game, that's for sure. There's a couple of controversial calls, but I don't care.
Jim was going to have a heart attack.
I was going to say, they were putting that, don't put that heart monitor to too much use over there. You don't want that thing to start going nuts. To be fair, they got that one right when they were going down before their field goal. That was way over the guy's head. It was should not have been a pass interference flag. So I know they were very upset about that, but you lose. That's how it goes sometimes. You lose. So we move on to week eight. We will start to transition into that today. Vikings at the Rams on Thursday night is the week eight game at SoFi. Cooper Kupp's going to be back, and I did see that. I'm sure you saw it today, too, that the Rams are willing to deal Kupp, Scotty. And who was the first team I saw listed as a potential suitor for Cooper Kupp? They didn't get Ayuk. They didn't get Adams. But maybe they'll get Kupp. I mean, he's a Super Bowl MVP. Why not?
Listen, I'll take Cooper Kupp. I'm a little concerned about his body. He's getting all kinds of, you know, ravaged with injuries, left and right ankles, hammies, calves. He's had everything. So I'm not sure he's not damaged goods.
It's very possible he is made of glass. He's hurt a lot, but we shall see.
I don't need a guy like that. Honestly, seriously, if Austin has all his speed, then play him. Put him in there. Get open. Throw him the ball, Russ. He threw to six different receivers. So, and you know what? How do you not throw to that 6'8 Washington, 6'8, 300 pounds? The guy runs over, he steps on people. He's like
a big boy.
Sasquatch, I may call him.
He's a big dude, that Darnell Washington. Big man on the Steeler pass game at the tight end spot. So we will start to transition into week number eight in the NFL here today. It is also opening night in the NBA. Hoops is back here with a doubleheader for us this evening. You have the Celtics getting their rings in Boston tonight. The Knicks, who have obviously a bunch of new pieces with Cat and Bridges, will be there. And then how could you not? I mean, it wouldn't be opening night if the Lakers weren't playing, as LeBron starts his 22nd season in the NBA, and the Minnesota Timberwolves will be there to see them tonight. So big doubleheader in the NBA, and I got it all for you today, Scotty. We'll do all our preseason stuff, odds to win the title, MVP, defensive player of the year. We'll get all that in before the season tips off tonight.
Wembanyama just won every award for the season. That's a done deal. And I'm hearing that Embiid will not play against the Bucks on Wednesday night.
Or George. Paul George not playing either. So that's right.
So,
welcome back to the regular season.
Hey, all that talk yesterday about Coach saying that the Bucks are going to get killed by the Sixers Wednesday night, I think it's going to be the other way around. I really do.
I think it's going to be the other way around also. Neither of those guys in the lineup. And the Bucks are actually, now the Bucks can't say this very often either, but the Bucks actually have like Giannis and Dame time healthy, right? Like that's very rare that they could say that throughout the
Dame time.
I will say, and maybe this will come up when we do some of the preview stuff later. I do think you're going to see a little bit of a bounce back from Lillard this year. I think he has to be kind of embarrassed the way last year went. He sucked in Milwaukee.
Yeah.
I think you're going to get a little bounce back from him.
I don't.
If he stays healthy.
It never gets better. It only gets worse when they get older. It never gets better. You've already seen his best.
I think you maybe not his best, but I'm better than last year.
My son at the fight. I wish nothing but ill will on him. He's got the black
downhill
diner. I put a bocce jinx right over his head.
Also tonight, Frozen Frenzy. Every NHL team is playing, starting at 6 o'clock East, all the way through 11 o'clock East. There's pretty much face-offs every 15 minutes, staggered throughout the entire night. Wall-to-wall coverage will have tonight. I mean, everybody playing in hockey, which is going to be absolutely outstanding for us as well.
Who are the Islanders playing at the racetrack?
I believe Detroit is who they're playing at the racetrack. The Islanders are playing Detroit.
In Calgary, it saddled them.
After
the game, you go to Cowboys to pick up chicks.
See, and everybody says that there's nothing to do in that town, and you just said otherwise. There's clearly some things to do in Calgary. As long as you're creative, you can make it happen. I've got a lot of World Series stuff for you as we are days away. All week long, we'll be hyping it up. Yankees-Dodgers, Friday night. Game number one is going to be taking place. I got my hat today, too. I got the World Series hat today.
You got
the Yankee World Series hat. I got it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Catch Sports Rage weeknights at 10 East, 7 West, along all of our outlets, TV stations, streaming networks, radio stations, Sirius XM, Channel 159. You can catch Gabe with us to the double shot from Vancouver every day right here on C2C. So I guess, first of all, I want to talk about the frenzy, whatever they're calling it. Sounds like fun to me. Hockey every 15 minutes starting at 6 Eastern until you pass out. Every single team in the league is playing. What are your favorite games tonight, Gabe?
The frozen frenzy, play-in tournaments. What are we even doing anymore, Scott, right? You can call what you want. I like how they do this the same night that the NBA starts as well. So what, are they sending it's like a gang war? They're sending a message to the National Basketball Association that, you know, we're going to have a frozen frenzy the night that you start your season. So to me, Scott, hey, listen, it's another night of hockey tonight on the slate. I got to be honest with you, from a betting perspective, the way my mind thinks, I'm thinking about Louisiana Tech the most tonight.
We got
like the NBA's coming. I've got some NBA futures for you. So NBA win totals. You know, and listen, man, am I alone in this, Scott? Are you fired up for the return of the NBA? And I don't say this like, you know, I don't say this like I'm not taking a shot at the NBA here in a sense. Well, I guess I am in a way, but nobody cares. Like, this is like the least anticipated start to an NBA season ever, right? And it's not like it crept up on us either. They've been playing preseason forever. So it's like, oh, yeah, okay, fine. And all you need to know is, like, before the season even starts, they announce, Joel Embiid and Paul George won't be ready to start the season. What a shocking development that is. Now, listen, I'll bet the NBA. I'll get into it as the season goes on. But I think as a whole, Scott, the NBA does have a problem. You know, listen, I talk to sports fans. I got my finger on the pulse of this thing for years. And I used to fly around, man, to NBA games. Like, travel. I'm going here to see this and this and that. And I paid like nearly $1,000 to go to the All-Star game before. Like, I used to love the NBA. So I'm not one of these people that, you know, oh, the NBA had a load management and this, so I haven't watched in years. No, I watch all the time, but it's slipping, Scott. Like, the product isn't as good. I don't want to sound like an old man. Oh, nobody plays defense, but it's not about like so much the defense. It's about trying. It's about the competition level. Everybody drops big stats, and yeah, because nobody plays defense. Defense in the NBA now is putting your arm up, and they think that's, oh, I play defense, coach, I put my arm up. Like, nobody grinds, right? So it's sort of entertainment, and I think, Scott, the media, I'm sure you would agree with this too, the media is to blame for this. The mainstream media, who basically only talk about LeBron James and Bronny James, and oh, KD is unhappy, and Kyrie Irving is unhappy. It's rinse and repeat. Oh, Draymond Green got ejected from a game. They only talk, the Knicks, they only talk about like three or four teams over and over and over again. And it's finally just tuned people out where they don't care anymore. So I think you'll see this reflective tonight. I'm curious to see what the NBA ratings will be, but they'll be anticlimactic, right? It'll just sort of be there. And, you know, well, the NBA doesn't start until Christmas, so to speak. And differently, Scott, like, you just opened up with the hockey. There was a buzz about hockey, right? There was that, oh, yeah, man, the NHL is back. Let's go. And teams come out flying right away, two games into the season. People are panicking in cities, in hockey cities. Oh, my God, the team is 2-0. There's an intensity to it. The NBA is just sort of entertainment. Go see the superstar player when he decides to play. And it's built around a couple of TV games and a couple of TV teams, and the rest of the league can suck it and go to hell, and the players won't bother playing in your city for the most part. It's hard. I mean, how do you get into this if you're a Philadelphia 76er fan when they tell you before the season starts, yeah, Paul George and Joel Embiid will never play back-to-back games this year? So that's like, That's like going to see, like buying tickets to a Metallica tour and you get a Metallica cover band, right? Sorry, James and Kirk can't do back-to-back shows. Come to see them when they play in Vegas in 3 nights because they care about that city. You know, that's where we're at right now with the NBA, Scott. So sorry for my long-winded answer about the frozen frenzy. And like I said, I was all fired up for the college football tonight more than the hockey.
I'll tell you this much. I think for like out here in New York, last year was so exciting with the Knicks that it really did matter. And I watched every game and I enjoyed it. And I don't like any other team. I'm not different for me. As you know, I'm Steelers, Pirates, Penguins, but I like the Yankees, right? But in basketball, I like the Knicks. And I enjoyed their season. I thought it was incredible. And
it was fun, Scott, but like we got into this before.
Tonight in Boston is those two teams, if they're good, the NBA's good.
Yeah, but like this whole thing, like I said, people in New York enjoy it, but the rest of the country gets tired of hearing about it every day. Like, what are the Knicks?
We don't care
what
about
the
everyone
Knicks,
else.
I know, but what did the Knicks do in the playoffs? Didn't they lose to the Pacers?
Well, they lost. They eventually
lost. They lost to the Pacers. They lost to the Pacers.
Eventually. So here's the deal. They got Cat Towns.
Yeah, they lost that trade for the record. They lost that trade. They lost that deal. Like, they point blank, they lost that trade.
Well, we don't know yet. Let's see what he does with the Knicks. I mean, what do you mean they've lost the trade? Because what, they haven't played any games yet?
Well, I'm stating that. Why, out of the three of them that they had, there were Gobert and Edwards. Why did they want to get rid of Karl-Anthony Towns so badly? Like, he was the one. They were like, we're going to win a championship, and you're not going to be here because we don't think you can be part of it. And listen, I'm not coming to Cat. I'm just stating that there's like some sort of, you know what I mean? There's a belief all the time.
He can flat out play, and Rudy Gobert has absolutely no game whatsoever.
Randall.
None. Zero.
Randall is better than Karl-Anthony Towns is. Minnesota will be better because of this deal. Karl-Anthony Towns is a big man that takes three, Scott. So if you want to pay some big dude to take a bunch of threes, okay, go ahead and do it. They're not built around Cat anyways. I'm not saying
Randall
chucks good.
As many threes as Cat Towns does. Believe me, you.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
So what I think the problem is with the league, I don't care about their ratings at all, anywhere, on any level, on any network. I really don't, because they're not going away. It's only getting bigger. Their TV deal just got bigger. I mean, 10 times bigger. They're going to be on TV more than you can spit. And it's going to be every single night. There's going to be games on, national games on, every night of the year, every season, always. And they're going to, you know, go to China. They're going to do whatever they want. They're no different than the NFL. They're enormous. And here's the other thing. They make more money than any athletes anywhere. That's all there is to it. They hand $150 million to
Jalen. Oh, they do
Suggs.
Cash in, Scott.
That's what's wrong with the NBA when they're paying hack players like Kispert $54 million. No one's ever heard of him. Every guy makes so much money. Embiid got $192 million. He never plays. He's never going to play back-to-backs. I got a problem with that. But I don't have a problem with the league in the sense that it's not my fault the Knicks didn't go to the Eastern Conference Final or to the NBA Finals. I still like their season with Brunson, and I play so much effing basketball. 5-6 days a week I play ball, and I love the game so much my whole life. Going to Indiana, I went there for basketball, so I like the game no matter what, high school, college, pros. And listen to this, I like, my daughter's a high school star, I like going to watch her games more than I like watching that airball WNBA. Coach is always bragging about that hack-ass WNBA. That was the worst basketball I ever saw in my life. That fifth game was trash.
Yeah, but they also had they had 2 million people watching it going up against baseball.
I don't care.
And football.
And
the NBA Finals, Scott, they had the Dallas Mavericks with Luka Doncic, a generational player, awesome basketball player. and the Boston Celtics, one of the most iconic brands in sports. It was one of the lowest rated NBA finals ever. They got a 5.9. They had a 5.9 rating. To put in context, the Dodgers and San Diego series did better. Right? So, like I said, the NBA from a business perspective, like if it's a trend, they're making money from the television deals because of streaming and stuff, but they're trending downwards. Like they have a lot of little problems that they don't address, that they just sort of make worse, that turns off the casual fan. And it's not like just load management, just overall as a whole, Scott. Like the popularity of the NBA has slipped. It has. It's, there's no disputing it. Like it's just the numbers keep going down and down and down and down every year. The players are still cashing in large, and they always will. And, you know, listen, it's an entertainment league, right? It's not really a competition league. It's an entertainment league. I think that's the best way to put it. Like the NBA, an NBA game is a show, right? It's a show. It's not, it's a sporting event, yes, but it's almost become like it's just sort of a step up a sporting event than the WWE actually, right? As opposed to like an NHL game where the players are willing to lose teeth, right? Will actually fight, literally, and fight for the win. The NBA, bro, if they have a cold, they're not going to play. It's like, ah, oh, you know, I can't. Don't, you can't expect me to play tonight. The Knicks are the exception, though. The Knicks are a hard-ass crew. Although Thibodeau is going to run them into the ground. Don't overplay everyone in the regular season. That's my advice for Tibbs, Scott.
One of the problems, I think, with the NBA and NHL is they play too many effing games. So they all bleed together and nobody cares. Like, you don't know a game from October from a game in April. The bottom line is that both seasons are too long, and so is baseball. That's why the NFL has the market cornered. They play 17 games. Now they're trying for 18. But when you play,
yeah, they're pushing
games,
it now too.
You play 162 games. It's too many games, and one doesn't matter from the next, and it's just too long. It gets boring. And I'll tell you another thing. I didn't want to watch the Celtics and the Mavericks because A, I hate the Celtics. B, Luke is a badass crybaby. All he does is whine and be to the refs. And I would rather watch the Dodgers and Padres because it's effing better.
You know, it's crazy, too. More people in Japan watch the San Diego LA games than they did in the USA, which is wild, too. Like, yeah, 12 million people.
Darvish.
Oh, yeah, 12 million people there. So speaking of insanity, Scott, tonight, you and I talked about our boy Pitbull. Hey, props to him. Hey, he goes to show. You got money today in today's day and world. You can do whatever you want. He's putting his yacht on the sideline in the end zone tonight, Scott. The last FIU game, he put all of his Ferraris and Lamborghinis around the sidelines. Tonight, they're busting out some big-ass yacht. And I'm thinking, imagine Bo Schembechler and Woody Hayes rolling. Coach, they'd be like, what the F is this boat doing on our field?
My
Coach,
daughter,
the players like it.
My daughter went to his concert in Queens at Citi Field. For 90 minutes, he shook his ass with like 50 smoking hot naked chicks, and all they did was dance and sweat and have sex.
I don't know how he got as big as he did, Scott.
Best concert she ever went to.
Only in America. God bless America. It's like that.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Mike DeCourcy is the esteemed columnist for the Sporting News. You can catch him on Fox Sports during the college basketball season and the Big Ten Network, which he now owns, I'm hearing. He owns a huge majority stake in the network. And he's also on the take for the Indiana Hoosiers in both football and basketball with his ties to the Hoosier State, even though he's a Pittsburgher through and through and also a huge Steeler fan like I am. Thank God for Mike DeCourcy. We've been blessed to have him on C2C every week for several years now. I think it's like 25 years straight he's been doing the show. Mike, Tony Bennett walked away from a fantastic coaching job and career at Virginia in Charlottesville. I mean, the guy did it all there. When he walked away, initially when we broke the story on here, we thought maybe he was sick or something. We didn't know why. But, you know, hours later we would find out basically it's because of what's happened to college athletics that's, you know, made him walk away. Could you believe it?
I'm not surprised. There had been a lot of discussion about the possibility that he might go in this direction. The surprise, obviously, is that he declined to do it in the aftermath of the previous season, signed a contract extension in June, and then decides to do it on the very eve of the season. Gosh, he even attended ACC Media Day. Why would you go through that if you didn't want to coach? But he did. And my position on this is really simple, that the changes in college sports that he acknowledged drove him out into retirement from college coaching are okay. So they're problematic for him, and they certainly make it really difficult. Really consuming, I think, is the word for college coaches. It's very difficult. You have to be on high alert all the time. And that's a really exhausting life. But what about the changes that occurred in the 15 years prior to that, Scott, when the University of Texas decided that paying their football coach at the time, Mack Brown, $3 million, which is more than anybody else was making, wasn't enough, and that he had to be paid $5 million. That massive increase set off an absolute firestorm of salary increases in college coaching. And as a result, when Tony Bennett was finishing his career for the last a good number of years, he was making over $4 million a year. And over his last 11 years, he made $38 million. So those changes allowed him to have the freedom to say, you know what, I'm done. So there are changes that impact everything in this equation. And all we focus on are the changes recently that have granted a significant amount of power to the athletes, and not the changes that precipitated that it granted an inordinate amount of money to the coaches.
Do you think that's why Jay Wright walked away too? He had all that money and he just didn't need it anymore, any of the nonsense? Now, I understand what you're saying. It's not just because of NIL and paying players. This is a lot deeper than that. But, I mean, here's a guy that, you know, what didn't he win? He won the NCAA tournament. What didn't he win? He won several ACC titles. He won more games than anyone ever at that school. Right. You know, honestly, what didn't he accomplish? And, you're right. Like, I didn't like the way, fair enough, it's his choice. But the way he handled it, I thought was weak. Right before the season starts, and then he went through the motions of signing a new deal, and then he went to the media days. I mean, what was he thinking? Like, don't tell me he made his mind up in the morning at breakfast and then made this decision by the afternoon. He had to have been drumming this up.
Well, the way he explained it was that he and his wife took a weekend vacation, and they talked about it a lot and came to this decision. I think Tony Bennett's a wonderful man. I've known him for 25 years and couldn't like him more. He's terrific. The trap you get into when you're in this circumstance where you're thinking about walking away is that you're going to impact somebody negatively one way or the other. If he had left in April, his coaching staff, his entire support staff would have basically been out of a job. And that's problematic for them. He leaves now, and the players who all signed up to play for Tony Bennett and everything that entailed, then they are out of a coach. So there's really no good time to do this. I can understand why people complained about it, and I understand why there is another side to it as well. But for me, the real thing comes down to is that college basketball is a terrific sport. The players do have an exorbitant amount of power now because of instant eligibility, what we use colloquially as the transfer portal. The portal itself is not the problem. The problem relative to the coaches and the stability of the sport is the immediate eligibility anytime you want to leave. That's the problem. And the solution to that is to make the athletes employees. But that creates a whole nother set of problems, and it's why the universities and colleges aren't really all that eager to do that.
So in the article, you talked about all these guys that stopped when they were in their 70s. That guy's nowhere near that. And you talked about how overwhelming the job is, how draining it is, and how stressful it is. He was a great teacher as a coach. there's nothing he can do to impress me with this decision. I'm sorry. I'm not going to sit here and agree with any of it. Like, I think he effed the whole program up nice and juicy. And what's going to happen in the aftermath of his bloodletting here? I mean, who's taking
over? Well, remember, though, Scott, if he had left in April, they would have had to go find a whole new roster, because just about everybody that was wearing Virginia colors last year would have left, and then they would have had a difficult time assembling another roster. So that would have really put the problem in
that spot. Are they
going
to do that now, Mike?
I think there may be some players who haven't spent a redshirt year who could, if they wished, decide to just say, okay, I'm not playing this year and I'm going to go somewhere else. But there may, you know, they may decide that, you know, they know Ron Sanchez, they've been around him now for 5-6 months. Maybe they'll decide that and some for many more than that, but the new ones, the new players have met Ron and know him and have worked with him, and maybe they like him enough to stick around. So I don't think that he gave the program a rough ride. I do think that the players who had committed for him and who returned for him, I think that's tough. But like I said, somebody was going to get a tough deal in this. I just look at it. The main thing for me, the main takeaway for me, is that there are lots of college coaches who still want to do this. The fact that Roy retired at 70 and Nick Saban retired, I think, 72, and Mike Krzyzewski retired at 75. It's not an unusual age to retire. That's pretty much what most people would have done with that amount of wealth. And that age and experience. But there are lots of coaches who are in their 70s who are still going. I mean, Tom Izzo will turn 70 this year. Jim Larrañaga is in his 70s. Leonard Hamilton is 76. They're still hanging on. So why are they still doing it if it's so bad? I know that it's tough. I know that it's rougher than it's been. And it was always a difficult job because of the recruiting calendar. But I look at the fact that there's always somebody who wants to do it. College basketball 50 years ago, nearly 50 years ago, survived the departure of John Wooden. And what happened, Scott? You know, it got way more popular, way more popular. So I just think that college basketball will survive Tony Bennett as well.
Yeah, I don't think UCLA ever got better than John Wooden. I'm sorry. And here's another thing. They're already trying to push me out the door, Mike, let alone you. And I'm not even old. People keep telling me I'm not old. Well, I'm not old, but I'm 59. Now 59, I'm washed. My ass, okay? Can I make it to 67 so I can get that check in my mailbox? For Christ's sakes, honestly. And Ron Sanchez, who is that? Like, I don't even know who that is. Don't even start with me with Ron Sanchez, Horsey. Just go watch the Steelers beat the Giants Monday night. Stay out of my basketball affairs. I don't really want to talk hoops with you until it really starts.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, we're back with Carver High, and we're talking about the Ravens. I got to tell you, Mike, I think they're the most dangerous team. I know they can't beat the Chiefs, and they're the kryptonite for the Ravens, without a doubt. Same with the Niners. They can't beat them either. But I'll tell you this much. I think that team is the best challenge to Kansas City. I know they lost them in the AFC title game in Baltimore. But they are, in my view, the cream of the crop. And that quarterback, to me, is still the MVP of the NFL. I mean, Mahomes is doing nothing other than the team is winning. They're 6-0. As a team, they are wildly consistent and win. They always win. They never lose. Fair enough. I'll give you that. But you can't tell me, and I know Mahomes is great. I'm not stupid. But that guy right there, Jackson's the most exciting player in the NFL. He's the MVP. That guy's the two-time MVP, going to win it again.
Well, through 7 weeks, he is the favorite now over Mahomes, as he got moved up to plus 260 last night after the game. 41-31 was the final. Certainly MVP-type number, 17 of 22, 281 yards, 5 touchdowns. Of course, added some yardage on the ground as well. We did get Mark Andrews. In fact, he had 2 last night. But the deep shot to Rashad Bateman, we'll give you that on ESPN from Lamar.
Here's a home run shot for Bateman. Touchdown, Ravens. 49 yards from Lamar Jackson. His second big completion tonight.
Well, look, all that mattered to me was when the game started and Evans caught the first tutty at 9-1. What do I care about anything else? I don't even care about his hamstring.
Well, that would be the only ball he caught last night. Thank
That's
God
all that
he
matters.
Caught the first touchdown. We're done after that, but I will get to him in a moment. Well, here's Lamar talking about another big offensive night for the Ravens. He's just doing his thing.
No, that don't really be on our mind. Our mind is just focus on the drive, focus on the play, and just go from there. Try to put points on the board, but we don't really look at it like we're clicking and we got them. Like, it's like we got to score each and every time we out there. Nah, I'm chasing something right now, so each and every game is going to be the same thing for me. Like, I'm going to be the same person. Every game I'm trying to win.
That's it.
Every game, trying to win.
I love his mindset. He's chasing the Chiefs, and he's got to beat the Kansas City Chiefs. That's all he knows. And he wants to go to the Super Bowl because this guy does not lose to NFC teams ever.
23-1 now.
I mean,
against the NFC. The only time he lost to an NFC team was he lost to the Giants in 2022 at MetLife. That was his only game that he lost NFC. And you mentioned that nobody beats the Chiefs, unfortunately.
No one.
So that's not just a Lamar problem or a Niner problem.
No one.
It's an everyone problem. No one can beat them. That's for sure. Also, 5 touchdown passes ties the Ravens single season game record. He has it already, so that's all fine and good. Derrick Henry also, I wanted to give you this because this is some unbelievable stuff. Now, he had .135. He caught a touchdown in this game as well. Through 7 weeks of the NFL season, this is what Derrick Henry has done so far. But can you believe this? He is first in rushing attempts, first in rushing yards, first in rushing touchdowns, first in yards per rush, first in rushing first downs, first in the longest. He has the longest rush of the season. He's first in scrimmage yards. He's first in scrimmage touchdowns. Is that enough for you? He's first in every category.
Running backs don't matter. Nobody wants to pay him. And remember, he's old and washed.
Yeah, old and washed. Certainly not as you look at what he's done this year with the Baltimore Ravens. Unbelievable.
From the franchise. Gave up on King Henry. Like, how stupid are they? They deserve everything they're getting.
And I even heard, just as a sidebar, like, the guys in Dallas, they were pressing Jerry again this morning about, like, why didn't you sign it? He said we couldn't afford Henry. And he also said it wouldn't have worked in our scheme. He's having those numbers because of the Ravens scheme, is what Jerry Jones said this morning about Derrick Henry. He wouldn't have had the same numbers in Dallas.
Gave Dak $60 million a year. Can't afford him.
The
franchise is worth $10 billion. The
crying poor
team is six.
Crying poor, indeed. Now, Buck side of things is not good, as you know. The loss drops them to 4-3. They're tied with the Falcons at the top spot in the NFC South, but they're going to be missing some guys now for a while. Mike Evans, we mentioned his touchdown catch with that 9-1 first tutty. He also was his 100th career touchdown catch in the NFL. He's only the 11th player to do that. And you know what they call that, Scotty? When you're only the 11th guy to catch 100 touchdown passes, that's called a gold jacket stat That's called a gold. That's a gold jacket stat. For Mike Evans. He's going to be getting one down the road, that's for sure. But he's also going to be missing some time. Hamstring injury, week to week. I just saw a report that says there's no chance he comes back before their bye, which is week 11. So they're saying week 12, so at least 4 or 5 weeks before you're going to see Mike Evans back out there. On the other side, you could forget Chris Godwin altogether. You saw, of course, the gruesome injury he had with the dislocated ankle. He's done for the season. Now, they pressed Bowles afterwards, a game, like, why was he out there? I'll probably have to wait till after the break to play this. Why was he out there? Because they were trying to win the game? How about that? Maybe that's why he was out there. It was a 10-point game. There was a minute left. They were trying to score again. What is he supposed to do? Put him in bubble wrap?
Yeah, you're not getting away with blaming the head coach for a guy's injury. That's as weak as it gets. How bad is the media that they're trying to turn this into Todd Bowles' problem? Like it was his fault? Let's get real here. Here's what's going to happen. He is going to have major reconstructive ankle surgery, and he's a free agent. He's finished playing for the Tampa Bay Bucks. They'll never sign him again. Coming off a dislocated, fractured, displaced ankle. He's not coming back to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. He'll be lucky to find a job because no one is going to buy that he'll ever be the same after they do the Steve Austin ankle job on him.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
So I want to hear this Todd Bowles presser where they were giving him the business.
So this wasn't, like I said, this wasn't just one question. It wasn't two questions. There was multiple questions about why Godwin was on the field in the final minute, which is absolute nonsense. Here's Bowles.
Isn't that even more, perhaps, important to preserve, Chris, for the Falcons and Mike's possibly not going to play?
Well, you could say that because he got hurt. We don't second guess. We got our guys. We're playing everybody we got. It's unfortunate he got hurt. We feel bad about that. But he's a football player, and he wanted to be in the game, just like Baker and everybody else wanted to be in the game.
I mean, it's that simple. Like, honestly.
I mean, this is ridiculous.
It's just, you know what it is? It's the team lost. Guys are hurt. There's not much to talk about. Let's make something a problem. Let's create a problem, which is what they tried to do to Bowles last night, and try to pin on him that he shouldn't have
one of
his two best. He loses one wide receiver. Now he's not supposed to play the other one because they're playing the Falcons this week, and it's a big division game. You don't want him to get hurt. It's nonsense. They were down 10. There was a minute left. They're trying to score a touchdown and somehow come back in the game. Go have a sandwich. That's pretty much honestly what that comes down to. For those media members down in Tampa Bay. The other game, the Cardinals beat the Chargers 17-15. Kind of a tough watch, I'm not going to lie to you, for the first 2.5 quarters. But it did get pretty good in the fourth. That 44-yard run by Kyler Murray early in the fourth quarter was outstanding. And then you had the Chargers kicking field goals all day, 5 of them from Cameron Dicker. But it was Chad Ryland. Who getting it done for the Cardinals at the end, ESPN Plus.
Clutch right down the middle. And Arizona grinds out a hard-earned physical victory over L.A.
Joe Tessitore with the call on the
blast. That was Fowler.
Was it?
Because, you know, they got to have college football guys do the other NFL game. Instead of having, you know, it is what it is, I guess. But
didn't
that was foul.
Did Tessitore do Monday Night Football 1 year?
He did. I believe he did do it 1 year. I forget. They've had, to be fair, before Aikman and Buck, how many guys did they have doing Monday Night Football that they cycle through before they finally ponied up all that money
Fowler,
and stole Buck and Aikman from?
I've been friendly with Fowler through the years. I've known him.
Good.
And, you know, I've been at a lot of events with him. I did that 30 for 30 on Jimmy Connors, Give Them What They
Yes.
Wanted, Brian Koppelman produced, and Fowler and I were big pieces of that documentary. Chris is a nice guy.
Here is Kyler Murray. The Cardinals needed that bad. Gets them to 3-4 now and still very much alive in the NFC West. Here he is.
To go 3-4 instead of 2-5, be right there in the division, just, you know, One game at a time, one day at a time. And we know where this puts us, but at the same time, you know, we can't look too far ahead. Obviously, like I said, we got to stay locked into the process.
He was very good last night,
yeah.
But I thought Connor was the guy for them last night's guy. I thought Connor was excellent.
Connor's a badass. Remember I was telling you I wanted Connor with a tutty. But I got to say that, like, it looks as though Kyler's trying to rock the Beethoven like I've mastered here. The Beethoven I got going. He's got the big fro Beethoven going. You can feel
it's looking good.
I'm rocking it a little bit right there.
You are rocking it a little bit right there. Let's finish this off with Harbaugh. Of course, we said there was a couple of controversial calls at the end. The Chargers made a lot of mistakes in this game. Harbaugh says it's not one play. We lost.
I mean, it was a game of a lot of, you know, near misses or close calls, and you know, that's. I thought both teams played well.
How about that?
You know, came down to a lot of details of. You know, a lot of things, so I'm not putting it on one play.
Well, that was a whole lot of nothing right there.
I'll tell you what their problem is, one of their problems. They have no offensive weapons. I mean, they have got the guys that they have running around out there for Herbert.
I know.
I mean, they are – I mean, Jalen Reagor, who got that ball strip. I mean, that's who you're throwing the football. Will Disley, I mean, they had Stone. 8 catches. Like, Joshua Palmer, like, they have got no juice whatsoever in terms of skill position players. But, Keenan Allen,
they screwed that up.
Yeah. Keenan Allen, Mike Williams, they had. And they both went out.
Touchdowns so. Every week for the Bears.
He has been so far. The last couple of weeks he has, that's for sure.
He's as good as Mike Evans.